To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Honor Jesus, as we pick up in John chapter 5, verse 23. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
One of the marks of a false cult is the failure to honor the Son. There are three things that Satan is constantly attacking: the Word of God, the divinity of Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. He's attacking the Godhead. He attacks God's Word. Hath God said? And he still attacks the Word of God. He attacks the divinity of Jesus Christ, and you find this in every false cult. Try the spirits to see if they be of God, and it's their testimony of Jesus Christ where it really reveals itself. And he attacks the work of the Holy Spirit. So God has wrought these works through Jesus that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. There are so many people who say, well, I believe in God, but I don't see the necessity for Jesus, and I really don't know about Jesus. Jesus is here declaring, look, if you don't honor me, you're not honoring the Father. And so the Jehovah Witnesses and these who fail to really honor Jesus, though they claim to be Jehovah Witnesses, they are not really honoring the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Believing on the word of Jesus, believing in the Father who sent him, and he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears my words, that is, hears in the sense of observing, keeping my word, and believing on God, you have eternal life. You will not come into condemnation, but you have passed from death to life. Now, look at how man has interpreted this through the church history, and how many regulations and requirements we put on a man in order to say, you know, your sins are absolved and you're a child of God. If you do this and this and this and this and this and keep these rules and read these regulations and follow this, you know, and pay your tithes and all this kind of stuff. And we lay all these heavy burdens on men. Where Jesus said, look, if you just hear my words and believe on him who sent me, you have everlasting life. You're not going to come into condemnation. You've passed from death to life. It is Satan's work to condemn the child of God. And he is very adept at it. He never ceases. The angels in the book of Revelation cry out, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out, who accuses them before God day and night. The accuser of the brethren, one of the titles of Satan. And how he accuses us. But if you hear the word of Jesus and believe on God, you have everlasting life. You won't come into condemnation, but you've passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the third verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Jesus will soon be going down into hell and preaching to those souls in prison, that he might deliver them from their captivity. The hour is coming, it's upon us almost, where those that are dead are going to hear the voice. and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus said, in a little while, as we get into John, no man takes my life from me. I give my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Even as the Son has that self-generating, even as the Father has life within himself, so the Son has that life within himself and power to give life, the authority. And he has given to him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Jesus is talking about that ministry that he's going to have very soon to those faithful who with Abraham were waiting the fulfillment of the promise of God. Those who died in faith, not having received the promise, but seeing it afar off, were embracing it, holding on to it, waiting for that redemption to be completed. And they shall come forth, they which have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they which have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He again is declaring that he is working in perfect harmony with the Father. Later on, he'll tell Philip, the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Same witness that he's giving here. What I'm doing, I'm only doing because I have seen the Father do it. I'm doing the works of the Father in your midst. And if I bear witness of myself, and now he's going to talk about the witnesses of him, but he said, if I bear witness of myself, the witness is not true. Not that it wouldn't be a true witness, but they would not accept the witness if he would witness of himself. And so there is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. For you sent unto John, and he bore witness of the truth. But I do not receive testimony from man or the witness of man. But these things I say that you might be saved. For he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So if I would witness of myself, it would not be acceptable. But John bore witness of me, and you went out and you heard him, and you were satisfied to walk in the light that he brought. But he said, I do not even accept the witness of John as the final proof of who I am. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And so Jesus is appealing to the miracles and to the works that he wrought as the witness and the testimony of his authority and of his origin. Now, Nicodemus came to him and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because no man can do the works that you do unless God was with him. And Nicodemus recognized this as a valid witness when he came to Jesus. Philip said to the Lord, Lord, just show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, Philip, and have you not seen me? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Why do you then say, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Now believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. He calls as a witness of his authority the works that he was doing, for he was doing the works of God. And they are a powerful witness of who he is. And to deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is to deny the miracles and the works that he has wrought. Now, you will always find those liberals who are seeking to do just that, rationalizing all the miracles. And as we get into the next chapter and Jesus feeds the multitude with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, they'll tell you that in those days, everybody carried their lunch in their long sleeves, which were tied at the wrist. And they were all so selfish that none of them were willing to share their food with others that may have forgotten to bring theirs. And they all sat there in their selfishness, not wanting to eat their own food in front of others, but still not willing to share, until finally one sweet little boy came forth and said, "Here, Jesus, I'll give you my lunch." And they were all so moved and touched by the beautiful example of this child that a miracle took place. They all untied their sleeves and shared their lunch, so that when they gathered up the fragments, they had given more than 12 baskets full. Isn't that sweet and wonderful? The example of a child leading the congregation to generosity. And so the lesson that they would teach is the example of a child being able to lead us into benevolent acts. Jesus really wasn't walking on the water. He was walking around the shore, and the disciples were almost at the beach already. They just didn't realize that. And so he just waded out and got in the boat, and they were at the shore, you know. There's no problem. It's too bad Peter was so dumb he didn't realize it and started to sink and had to cry for help, isn't it? Figures don't lie, but liars sure can figure. So Jesus is declaring, "I could testify of myself, but you wouldn't receive that. John testified of me, but I don't ask you to believe that." The works, they are the witness. But even more than the works, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me." The Father is witnessed of me. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father is borne witness of me. But Jesus wasn't referring to that. He was referring to the Old Testament scriptures, where in the Old Testament, God bore witness of his Son, who he would send into the world. "The Father hath borne witness of me. But you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape." You don't know the Father. You've never heard the Father. "For you do search the scriptures." Now, this is often misinterpreted. People think that Jesus is saying, "You go home and you search the scriptures." He's not saying that. He is saying, "You do search the scriptures. You have searched the scriptures. For in them you think you have life. But really, they are testifying of me." Peter, in his epistle, said, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we declared unto you the glory of the Lord, but we were actually eyewitnesses of his glory on that most holy mount. But we have a more sure word of testimony in prophecy. I saw it with my own eyes," but I'm not even asking you to believe what I saw with my eyes. We've got something that is more sure than what we have seen. We've got the word of God and the witness of God in the Old Testament scriptures. And if you really search the scriptures, you will find that they testify of Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament was bearing witness of that one who was to come. As Jesus said, "I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord." Declaring that the volume of the book, the Old Testament, was written about Jesus. Now he's saying to them, you haven't really heard the voice of God. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have life. But in reality, you haven't heard God's voice because those scriptures testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might receive life. Now he said, I do not receive the honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. For I have come in my Father's name, and you have received me not. But there's another who is going to come in his own name, and him you will receive. The reference here is to the Antichrist, who will soon be coming on the scene. And though the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, they will embrace this man, who will come on with a great deception, a program of peace and prosperity. If you talk to the Orthodox Jew today, they will tell you that they will recognize their Messiah, for he will come and bring them their temple. And they are looking for the rebuilding of the temple today. But they're looking for some man to lead them in the rebuilding of the temple, and whoever that man is will be hailed by them as the Messiah. And that is the sign that they are looking for. Whatever man will bring to them the rebuilding of their temple. But because they are in unbelief of the Son of God, they will be deceived. And the man who is going to lead them into the rebuilding of their temple is the Antichrist, who will be coming in his own name, but him. Jesus came in my Father's name, in my Father's authority, but you didn't accept me. This man's going to come in his own name, and you're going to receive him. And the prince of the people that shall come will make a covenant with the people, but in the midst of the week, he will break the covenant, and he will establish the abomination which causeth desolation. He's going to come into the temple after 3.5 years declaring that he is God and demanding to be worshiped as God. And through his blasphemy, he will trigger the great wrath of God, which will be poured out at that time upon the Christ-rejecting world. How can you believe, you who are receiving honor one of another? One of the most sickening things to me is that building up of other men's egos in the bestowing of honor and glory and the heaping of praises upon man. When I was within a denomination, one of the most sickening things I had to go through were the conventions, where the men would get up and honor each other. The introductions of the speakers were a pain to endure. As they began to tell of the great, mighty, marvelous instrument of God that God has sent to us in these days to be a blessing and an honor and a glory. And then the guy, when he gets up to start to speak, has to give honor to the guy that gave him such a glorious introduction. How I thank God for brothers like this who have stood so stalwart for God, and, you know, and they're going on and just patting each other's backs and exalting each other and lifting up men. Jesus said, as long as you're lifting up men, how can you hear the voice of God? The voice of God seeks to exalt Jesus Christ. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. And so says every true child of God. Rather than seeking the honor and the glory of man, he is seeking the honor and the glory of God. And Jesus said, how can you believe when you receive honor one from another and you seek not the honor that comes from God only? But don't think that I'm going to accuse you to the Father. I'm not going to accuse you. Moses, the one you love and is trusting in, he's the one that's going to accuse you. Now, the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Moses is accusing you. Moses laid out the law. Moses told you how God would have you to live. And you haven't lived up to that standard. And thus the law stands as the accuser of man, not the Redeemer, not the Savior. The law cannot save you. It cannot make you righteous. The law condemns you and accuses you because it shows you how far short you have come from what God would have you to be. Don't think Jesus said, I'm going to stand up there and accuse you before the Father. The one you're trusting in is the one that's going to accuse you, Moses. He is going to accuse you. For you believed Moses. If you have believed Moses, he said, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. And so go back in the first five chapters, you'll find, as Jesus said, you do search the scriptures, in them you think you have life, but they're actually testifying of me. And if you go back and truly understand the first five books, you'll find Moses is talking about Jesus all the way through as he deals with the sacrifices and the various types of sacrifices and all. He is talking about Jesus, who is to be the great sin offering that would be offered for the men of the world. But if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe my words? Because actually, Moses was declaring my words. Jesus here is claiming the authorship of the books of the Old Testament.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 5. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ through the week. And may you just bask in that love this week. May you be filled with that love. May you overflow with that love as you reach out to those around you who are less fortunate to help, to strengthen, to supply. God be with you. And may He use you as His instrument to show His love to this needy world. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, is a collection of studies and prayers Pastor Chuck presents to you with scriptures and principles on which to build a glorious prayer life. As Franklin Graham remarked regarding the book, with great clarity, Pastor Chuck writes about the honor we have to approach the throne of grace and mercy through prayer. He masterfully teaches the principles of praying to God the Father, and he emphasizes the power that is ours when we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and nurture our prayer lives. I encourage all believers to study Pastor Chuck's book based upon biblical principles. You can order Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege by visiting thewordfortoday.org. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.